麻雀の謎はアホのすることない。
Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast for October. This is Garth Nelson, and with me is
Jen Barr.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, you know, up and down, up and down. We've had a little hiatus, I guess, since our last real podcast. Oh, well, you did podcast at the World Series, huh?
Yeah, so we have had a hiatus since our regular podcast, but we had extra podcasts at the World Series of Mahjong to make up for that.
Yes, so I guess we don't need to cover the World Series so much since that's already been covered, huh?
Yeah.
ReachMahjong.com is our website, and you can reach me, Garth, at G-A-R-T-H-E at ReachMahjong.com. And what's your address?
Jen, J-E-N-N, at ReachMahjong.com. We like to have extra letters at the end of our names.
Yes, makes us feel special. How has your Mahjong been lately?
It's been all right. We had... What did I do? I played yesterday at a Mahjong parlor.
Yeah? Where did you play?
I played in Shibuya at Zoo. I had a guest job there
for
our women's tournament, which ended then, and I didn't do very well. I warmed up for the first four games, and in the fifth game, I won. Which inevitably was the last game.
Way to finish strong, at least. Those were five games of free playing or for
yes,
the tournament?
Free, oh, okay. Free. Well, you play free and then your scores count towards the tournament. So we're never playing against the other people in the tournament. You're always playing at different Mahjong parlors against different people. And it's just your records from the free game.
Huh. Yeah, I have to say, I didn't really understand how that tournament was working for you.
Yeah.
Or what the format of that tournament was.
Yeah, so...
So that's the end of the tournament, or
yeah,
is there...
that's the end. I know the beginning of October. This was October. At the beginning of October, I was featured in Shukan Gendai, and which is what the tournament is for. It's for that newspaper, and I think I was towards the bottom then. But it's a free roll, so.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
So what can you lose?
Yeah. So I just went and played, and I had a good time. I finally got some free practice in that I desperately needed. So that was good.
Yes, I've been playing quite a bit of free lately. In fact, I worked at a free Mahjong parlor yesterday. You know, kind of average day. I have to say, I'm really surprised that anybody does that job regularly, you know? I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to go into a Mahjong parlor, whatever you want, and play, and like, you know, I'm going to try to make money playing at this Mahjong parlor, and go in there. But then, when you're having a bad day, you can just take off. You can, you know, you lose four games in a row, and you're like, well, dude, this sucks.
I'll just go home.
Yeah, I hate this game. And you can go ahead and hate that game. You can hate Mahjong for, you know, a few hours, go home, and take a break, and you're done with it.
Right.
When you're playing as a member in a Mahjong parlor, you're stuck. You're having a crappy day, and more people just keep coming in and keep saying, yes, I'm going to take more of your money. You're having a crappy day, and I'm going to make your day crappier.
So is that what it was like for you when you were actually working at the Mahjong parlor?
It was like that last week. I had a terrible day last week, and you know, I actually mentioned this on the blog for the website today, or yesterday. One of my big problems is I am just not the kind of person that can turn it around after having a bad game or two.
Mm-hmm.
I start plummeting. I spiral downwards. And last week it was just like that. Like I lost a couple games, bad beats, you know. And then you get a couple bad beats and you're like, well, geez, you know, if people are going to play crappy and win anyway, why should I play well?
Exactly.
So then I start playing crappy and. Surprise, surprise, I lose more. And then I just lose more and more and more, and I ended up losing, like... I played 27 games when I worked last week, and I won 3.
The worst part is when you, like, do something bad, and you actually win. It works in your favor, and then you... You know, because that encourages your negative thinking,
yes.
And you just keep playing bad.
Yeah, and you're just... Why bother playing well?
Exactly.
I can just play, like, crap and win. But yesterday I did a lot better. I played 17 games and I think I won 6 or 7.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, and I basically lost to the Gamudai, the cost of playing.
The rake.
Yeah, I paid, I don't know, I lost 1,500 yen. Ooh, Gesundheit. But I paid, say, 5,700 yen in rake, so, you know. Anyway, yesterday was not so bad. One game that I really liked yesterday was last hand. I was the dealer. I had a Mangan hand, peace hand with three Dora, and then I was thinking about reaching. But the thing is, my last thing that I threw was part of my weight. I had 2-2-3 cracks, and I threw the two of cracks. And I figured, God, if, you know, if I reach with this, everybody's going to think 1-4, you know, around that area is dangerous. So I threw the two, and sure enough, what's the first thing that comes out but one from the guy right next to me? I'm like, oh, and I couldn't win on it because the other guy over here was like 12,600 points away. So it's like, oh, God, what am I going to do? And then, like, what if another 1 and 4 come out, like, right after that? I can't win on those either, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, I couldn't win on his because he only had 5,000 points, so it would have, like, I would have ended the game in second place by 600 points. Oh, God, what do I do? So I take my next draw. And then I just like, ah, beach. So it's Tsumugiri beach. And sure enough, the girl threw Iwan, or threw one of cracks like right away. Oh, yes, Iwan. So
nice.
that was pretty amazing. That was my big moment yesterday. So that's how we've been playing lately. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back at you with the Mahjong news.
And they need to take it up with me after the show.
You're listening to the Reach Mahjong podcast, exclusively at reachmahjong.com. Join the Japan Professional Mahjong League's Jem Bar and Garth Nelson to get all of your mahjong news, strategy, professional interviews, weekly meetups, and more at reachmahjong.com.
Okay, we are back, and let's get into some mahjong news. What has been happening in the world of mahjong this month? Let's start with our league wrap-up, which has gotten all wet from this table. In A-League, first place, of course, is Mochizuki, as he always is. Have you ever met that guy?
No.
Talked to him?
No. But he was the Phoenix Cup holder for a while.
Right. Who is this guy who obviously rocks at Mahjong that none of us ever have talked to?
He's Mochizuki.
I don't know, maybe we should try to talk to this guy.
Okay.
Get some hints from him.
Well, we've been talking to a lot more people lately,
it's
so
true. We have
it
been,
is our theme.
Yes. Let's get to know some more peeps. so that's of note in A1. In A2, Sawazaki, who we also get to play with a lot at Sparta, is in third place still. And Takizawa, our favorite young player, had a good had a plus 35 day last time to move up to fifth place. The field is, there's kind of a big break there between 5th and 6th place. 6th place is Imasato with only 8.4. Taki has 46.9.
Taki's going to be one of our featured players for the rest of the season. We're going to feature 4 players in league so that we can concentrate on their results.
Right.
And
follow their play, see how they're doing, get their thoughts as they move along, see how they feel like reacting to, you know, whatever happened in their last league session.
Right.
And whatever. So that's Taki in A2 league, holding on to a 5th place spot there. And actually, that puts him in relatively good shape for trying to move up to... he's still 100 points behind Ito Yuko. If he wants to move up to A1 next season.
I wonder
season.
If in A2 it's more about surviving, because only like 2 people move up, right?
Yeah. I think there is a lot of that. Like... going into B1, talking to our buddy Kondo,
mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a lot more play geared towards just holding on to your spot.
Yeah,
and that's something that I think I commented about that in talking about league play.
Oh yeah, in
last
your
month,
in
my
your
blog,
column?
Yeah, in my yeah. column. It's not so much about going for the big win, trying to make some big wins here and there. It's just trying to hold on to your points, not making a big loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, once you make that big loss, blam! You are down in the cellar.
Yeah, I've heard that that's pretty horrible.
Yeah, and it's, you know, everybody else is just trying not to make that big loss, so how is it that you're going to pull out
good
of the cellar?
Them.
Yeah.
Good for those people that are not me. That are.
Yeah, really. Apparently that seems to be the thing to do. We are not doing that. But in B1, there's a really interesting matchup that I cannot wait to go check out at our next league next league session. Iwai Kenta, Sasaki Hisato, Kondo, our buddy Kondo Shintaro, and Sarukawa are all at the same table.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
That is going to be a fun table to watch. And it's funny, I was talking to Kondo about, play style there. You think of Sarukawa and Hisato. I mean, they're pretty much semeya.
They're really aggressive players.
Attackers, right? And he says, well, yeah, you know, they're attackers, but, you know, you'd be surprised how often they're not attacking. How often they're, they may even look like they're attacking, but in fact, actually, they're playing safe because they know those are tiles that, are not going to lose.
And, I find that to be true. I played with Hisato at Champions one time, and one time I was sure he had, like, a flesh hand. It was half flesh, and it ended up being, a 1,000-point, Green Dragon only or something like that. Like, really?
How did that happen? Yeah, how does he fool you like that?
And then the next hand, I was like, okay, well, he's just doing the same thing again, and guess what? It's 12,000 points. Like a magician.
Yeah. So, I'm really looking forward to that matchup. Four players that I like to watch, like to pick their brains, and who have had some major accomplishments in the past.
Especially against you.
Oops. Yeah. But yeah, EY and Sato Champions League winners, Sarukawa, OE winner, and whatchamacallit, 10 steps tournament.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an exciting
table.
We're
going to be there watching that table, right?
Right. That's me.
Excited. I will be there as well.
Okay, cool.
We'll be there because Hisato is another one of our featured players for this season. So we will be monitoring his progress. He's
exactly.
Our B1 representative.
In League B2, not so many players that we watch usually, but just last season's special league winner, Ogawa. More kind of just see how he does, just because he had such a dramatic finish to his season last year. Last season. That table is not playing their first session until this next league session, apparently. So we'll be checking him out. Nikaido Rumi is down in the cellar, 14th place in B2, so she has a little work to get herself out of the dropping down league group there. In League C1, Yuki Michi had started off kind of weak with a minus 14. And one of our other featured players,
Kurosawa Saki, or Saki Kurosawa, depending on which order you want to say. Her given name is Saki, and her last name is Kurosawa.
She had a plus 4.2 to put her firmly in the middle.
Yeah, and she actually, and it's jumping a little bit to a different kind of news, but last weekend she won the Pro Queen tournament.
Really?
Yeah, she's the Pro Queen title holder at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I'm going to interview her on Saturday after our Women's League and pick her brain a little bit.
I did not know that. Well, congratulations to Kurosawa Saki.
Yeah. Way to go, her.
So
way to go, anyone who wins.
I can't believe I still don't remember which is which, but Pro Queen is the tournament, or that's... Okay.
Pro Queen is a tournament, and all other female pros from other leagues are invited to play in the tournament.
Uh-huh.
The Women's League is just like our league that you are reporting on every month, and it's for women only.
How many days is the Pro Queen tournament?
Pro Queen, they have 2 days worth of qualifiers, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then they have the 2 days worth of the tournament itself, and then they have 2 days of the semifinals and 2 days of the finals.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of almost like, say, OE.
Yeah, it's a lot like OE or Masters, but just for women.
Just
Women's League is 5 days, and then they have the finals with the top four from the A League, and there's A League and B League.
Wow. All right, moving on to League C2, we get to another one of our featured players at the very top of C2, Miyauchi Kozue, killing it on her first day in C2. Actually, that's not... Did she just move up last time?
I don't remember.
Well, anyway, yes. In the first session of C2 this league season, she got plus 88 to take first place in the field for C2. We'll be following Kozue as we move through the season too. And another one of our buddies, Kamimura Shintaru.
He's the one who wrote the guest column for us about squeezing.
And we also play at his Mahjong parlor a fair amount, practicing for the World Series and other tournaments. He had a plus 34 to put him in 7th place. Makes him in good position, possibly to move up at the end of this season. In C3, one of the other players that we've followed sometimes, Izumi Yukiko. Yukiko?
Mm-hmm. Okay. we just interviewed. Her interview is up on the site.
Right. I think that was 2 months ago. 1 month ago.
Yeah, we put it up in September, I believe.
All right. She had kind of a rough start to the season this time, a minus 65, which puts her in 36th. That is definitely in the moving down group, so she has a little work to do to get herself safely back into the safe zone there for C3. And also in the danger zone in D1 would be yours truly. Had another crappy start to league play. I had a minus 26.5, most of that coming on the third game when... this one guy just kept winning on like the fifth draw, and I brilliantly, you know, the first two hands that he won on the fifth draw, he won from other players, and then the third hand that he won on the fifth draw, he drew himself. That was when I decided, okay, it's now I have to step in and, you know, take charge here and start killing this guy.
So you were pretty sure that the coin was always going heads, and now it was going to go tails, because
obviously,
heads all the other time.
There must be like a 90% probability that's going to go tails now. And sure enough, it came up heads again. I threw a 12,000 point hand to the jerk. So
nice.
Yes, and then after that, I threw more hands. So we the other three players. We all finished minus, but I finished more minus than anybody else.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I got.
So you won.
Yeah, I sure won that battle, didn't I? Sure showed them. But even a little worse than me is another player we sometimes follow, Tamradar Dinka, another friend that we like to play with. She had a minus 56. So we both have a little bit of work to make ourselves safe for D1 again. And also wrapping it up in D2. How did you do?
I think I got a teeny bit negative, like minus 2 points or something. So I should be just about in the middle-ish.
Right. You're in 31st out of 63.
Oh, so that's more than the middle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the upper half.
You're better than average. How was your league session? How
did Well, it was the four people that moved down from D1. So I was like, okay, D2, I'm going to be with all the little donkeys,
right?
Right. And then it was the four people that were just, like, the same level donkey as me. Instead of the lower donkeys than me.
Right.
So that wasn't...
Who were once not quite such donkeys, but have...
Yeah.
...descended to the very pits of donkiness.
Exactly. So... But I did okay. It was all right. Mm. I think I probably got, like, one of each. I got, like, a first, a second, a third, and a fourth, or something like that.
Nice. Actually, just to clarify, I may be joking a little bit when I say, or I have to be joking a little bit when I say that she has descended to the pits of donkeyness, because I was actually destined for the pits of donkeyness myself, but narrowly managed to escape just because enough players quit from D2.
And because I lost 100 points for you.
Right.
Because if I didn't lose that much, I would have been above you, and I would have been the one that...
You would have been the one who had been saved. But yes, I was saved by a fluke. Enough players in D1 quit so that even though I had fallen out of D1, I was one of the top players that fell out of D1. So I ended up not having to... I ended up staying in D1 by the grace of... small, minuscule layers of non-donkiness. Let's see, other tournament, other...
I liked Yoshi's quote on that, by the way. He commented on your column about that.
Oh, really?
He said, it's not altogether unlike success. That's a very good, very
yes.
Garth-worthy quote.
That is, yes. I'm going to have to take note. other tournaments. There's not a lot of tournaments going on right at the moment. We've got Champions League, which started up this month. Of note in Champions League is Fujiwara. He's an A1 player who is at the top of Champions League right now. Interesting, I think, because he's generally a very, very, very conservative player. We were talking about how in the upper leagues, people are just trying to save points. Man, is that guy ever just... I mean, if you talk about somebody who cannot wait to give up a hand,
yeah.
That guy is just...
looks for every reason
yeah.
to do so.
And yet, there he is charging it in Champions League. So it'll be interesting to see if he turns this Champions League session into something for himself there. And another player of note is an A2 player, Imasato. You know, he's obviously a very good player. He's at the very bottom, 46th out of 46. And I think it's interesting. He played two sessions. He had a minus 80 and a minus 49.
Actually, Jem and I got to play with him one time.
We
got together with Mr. Katayama, the artist of Miko, which I know a lot of you had read. When Jem came to Japan, like, was it a year and a half ago, I think? We met with them, and we played with them, and Katayama said, you know, Imasato, you'll see him. Whenever you see him playing, he'll be, like, screaming, because he'll be like, ah, because he just, like, threw 12,000-point hand here and an 18,000-point hand there. And then, you know what? He charges. And he just gets it all back.
In one big swoop, huh?
Yeah, so yeah, maybe he won't stay at the bottom. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he can turn it around. Yeah. But it is also reassuring to see that, you know, strong players do have streaks like that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy who's obviously a very, very good player. And yet, there he is at the very, very bottom. He's had... And, you know, it's not... Not like, oh, he's, you know, it's just one time he screwed up. Two times in a row, he just had crap days. And, you know, that's. I think we can all take a little bit of reassurance from that, you know?
Also on that with reassurance, there's one very well-known pro that we are friends with. And I can't say who it is, but they actually took the... when we were doing we were dealing out the hands, they actually tried to take it from the opposite direction. I won't say who it is because I promised I wouldn't, but just so you know, like, well-known pros do that as well.
Yeah, actually, one of the pros at the place I worked at yesterday did that. Dude, wait, which way are you going? You trying to take the Rinchan Sumo already?
That is reassuring to me.
Yes. People make mistakes.
For the tournament news, can I just do the meetups real quick?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
The last one from September 26th. July won that one with 43,000. And Necrosis was in third place. Chawa got second place with 35,000 points at the final table. So that was great. And then in the last one, which was 2 weeks ago, Vortex won, and Gemma got second place. And so good job them.
Way to go.
They'll be getting their gift certificates for mahjongmart.com in the next day or two.
Very nice, very nice. Hope to see more competition at the meetups. Get a few more tables. We always have two tables, but it'd be fun to have even more, huh?
Yeah, one time we had three.
Really?
That's good, yeah.
Very nice. One other tournament or league I wanted to talk about was the Special League, just because a couple of our buddies are in it. Kamimura is in 10th place out of 16. He got a plus 7.5. And Oba, that guy... You got to think, even though he's had... I don't know why that guy got stuck in D2 to begin with, because he's obviously a really good player.
Yeah, he kicks ass.
He had kind of a rough start in Special League last year, which he donked out. And, you know, just another example of a strong player having a weak run and getting knocked out. And you can take reassurance from players that you see a player that you know is a strong player and he has a bad streak, and you say, wow, you know, maybe I can turn my bad streaks around too, just like those guys do.
Yeah.
He is currently in third in Special League. He had a plus 25.6 last session. So
nice. Yeah, last time he donked out of Special League, even before me.
Yeah.
Even after I discarded somebody else's four concealed triples when Suvanko.
Yes. That was a crapper. That girl is also doing well in I think she's in fourth place in Special League, if I remember correctly.
Okay, let's talk about something else.
Oh, yes, yes. Something else. Moving right along. Other news in the world of Mahjong.
Yes. Tournaments. We have the Mahjong Super Cup coming up in Macau, December 13th and 14th, and we will be covering it extensively. We're going to have...
Sounds exciting.
Articles leading up to it, rules, things like that on the website. It looks like, hopefully, we will also be podcasting live from... Not live, like, live, but we will be at the Super Cup with a booth podcasting.
Right. Live recorded.
There. Yes.
Recorded live.
Recorded live. From the Grand Waldo, which is where it's going to be held. And they're using 16 tile rules, which is the Taiwanese rules, and my second favorite rule set after Reach.
Oh, really?
Well, besides three-player Mahjong, because... But that still uses Reach, so...
Right.
The next one would definitely be the Taiwanese rules. Huh. They're really fun.
Yeah, I have to say, I used to be a little bit adverse to non-Reach rules, like, you know, that's not real Mahjong. But after my experience at the World Series, I have to say... I do like playing other rules and getting other, you know, points of view on the game. You definitely get some interesting points of view. And just because the rule set is different doesn't mean you can't take strategies from one game and use them in the other.
Right. And I have to say, I really, you know, I've played the Chinese official rules and I still don't like them very much. But I haven't played the Taiwanese rules all that much, but I really like them a lot. One of the cool things is you can get the three colored runs, Sanshoku, and the full straight, Ikitsukon, at the same time.
Ah, yes.
That's cool.
So I won't be faced with that dilemma of whether to go for this one or that one, which I'm always surprised how often it comes up. It's really amazing.
Except for that, I think that maybe the three-colored runs was not on the list of hands.
Oh, really?
In the Super Cup. I'm not sure. I was translating the rules last night, and I can't remember if it was there or not, but we'll have to take a look. But in theory, you could do that.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
Alright, so yes, that's the Super Cup coming up. And you had one other piece of news, yes?
Yes, on the same weekend, December 13th and 14th, in Vienna, that's Austria, I believe, for all you...
for all you Americans.
Non-Europeans, yeah. In Vienna, they're having another Reach tournament put on by Kasu. And they did one, I believe, in August. And that was the kickoff to also the European... ranking system for Reach. And they are doing another tournament. And I think they're going to keep doing one because their group is getting bigger. They already have 36 members. And they meet in Vienna every 3 weeks.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, so I think they're going to be...
Another league, perhaps.
Yeah, they're going to be like really big. We're going to also do a feature on them in the coming month or two leading up to the tournament. And Jem will be there in Vienna covering the tournament, and I believe there will be some Reach Mahjong goods prizes available at the tournament. So if you're in Europe, you definitely want to sign up for that Vienna tournament.
Sounds good. Okay, and I thought you had one more piece of news, the Olympics?
Oh, okay. You want to do this after the break? Or?
Oh, okay, sure. That sounds good. all right, so let's take a little break, and we will come back with one more piece of news and our featured strategy talk for...
ReachMahjong.com is the number one source for Mahjong strategy discussion and Mahjong news from Asia. Visit our site to find out how you can use ReachMahjong.com to reach Mahjong players and professionals all over the world. We can even report live from your event. For more information, visit ReachMahjong.com or email advertise@ReachMahjong.com to see how you can buy time and space with Reach.
Okay, we're back. One more piece of news. You were going to talk about Mahjong in the Olympics.
This is more of a discussion and less of a news item. But it's something that goes on that we were talking about before the Olympics started. And it was something on Mahjongnews.com. There was an article about Yu Xiaoping, the girl who also cashed again at the World Series in Mahjong. She got third last year and cashed again this year. I think she was like seventh or something.
Yeah, I think she was in the last eight.
Yeah, she had said she wants Mahjong to be an Olympic sport, and we were like, we don't want that. So I looked again, and on mahjongnews.com, which you should check out, especially for European news and Chinese official rules news in the mahjong world. But I was looking at it again, and he had a quote. This was actually put up at the end of August, so it's a little bit late for us getting to it, but still. The Dutch member of the International Olympic Committee, Mrs. Erica Terpstra, I'm probably saying that really wrong, but I tried. She said that even chess is not an Olympic sport, and chess is played in many countries. So it seems that mind games are not part of the Olympics, which was my whole argument from the beginning.
Yeah.
And also, the other problem is that it's not popular in enough countries. It says in the article that a sport must also be popular in many countries. 75 countries for men's summer sports, and 40 for women's summer sports, and 25 for winter sports.
There's an interesting idea. So, which season does Mahjong, the sport, fall into anyway, right?
I think it belongs in the fall Olympics. So, for the... are those on the odd numbers? Or?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I have to say, too, as much as I would like to win a gold medal for playing Mahjong, I can't imagine... I don't know why you would make it an Olympic gold medal, you know? It's just like... It's just not a sport.
Do you remember when we first started, like, studying, before we even joined Renmei, or JPML, we were studying with... like Mr. Moriyama,
uh-huh.
and with Saki,
uh-huh.
Kurosawa, and with Kozue Miyauchi, and all those people, we were going to practice sessions with uh-huh. them. And we went to eat one time, and we were talking about the Olympics, because there are certain female pros in the industry
uh-huh.
that lie about their age.
Oh.
And I had asked Saki, I think, Saki had said something about she would never lie about her age, because uh-huh. just in case Mahjong became an Olympic sport... And she had to tell her real age.
Wow.
After that,
people do things.
I'm not sure if that was the whole reason, but this is
I'm
the reason
be
she
careful
used.
For this reason. Wow, that's pretty crazy.
So after that, we went on and on about all the jokes. Basically, every joke we could make about the Olympic, about Mahjong actually being an Olympic sport. Like, okay, so when we're warming up, we're going to have to pwn 5 times.
Yeah.
We're going to have to chi 5 times so that we'll be ready when the actual pwn and chi situation comes up.
Oh, and
man. It's really fun.
Yeah.
And I was saying that they should have, I think, did we say this last time? That they should have time trials for building the wall.
Like, yeah.
Like separate events, right? Not just
you could have cheating trials too. Like who can pull off the best cheating maneuver.
So but I'm not sure if we already covered that in the last.
Yeah, I think
time.
We may have talked about it once, but and you know it's part of the discussion. It's certainly true that just because it's a mind game does not mean that it's not physically taxing. Chess players, like championship chess players, will lose like a good 10-15% of their body weight in a tournament from like just the I'm not sure exactly where you're losing that weight, but it's just like it's a lot more physically taxing than people realize.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I think that you gotta be like building muscle,
right,
and not brain muscle. I want to see jocks in the Olympics.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily want smart people.
There has to be a little bit more than just moving your arm around here and there. You know, I mean, pool is... I wouldn't think of billiards as an Olympic sport. I wouldn't even really think of bowling as an Olympic sport. Certainly, foosball is not an Olympic sport, you know? And mahjong. As much as I love mahjong, I just don't see it as an Olympic sport.
All right.
Okay, so that's one discussion. And one more discussion we have talking about strategy this week, or this month. I'm just going to talk again about Atozuke. Atozuke is, in English, what I called after attaching.
Yeah.
And it's one of those strategies that I look upon with great scorn, just because I don't really like to use it.
Notice he said he doesn't like to use it, and not that he doesn't use it.
And I think the reason it comes to mind is because recently I made another scornful comment about it, and you said, well, you know, you should use Atozuke more. And then I had to admit, you know, actually, I would be embarrassed if people really, if, you know, people really took note, actually, how often I do use it. But you know what's interesting is that I'm not sure if I'm just paying more attention lately or if it really is something that's happening. I'm noticing something that is actually happening, but it really feels like I see a lot more otozuke in the last, you know, 5-6 months than I did, say, a couple years ago. And you don't get that feeling?
I think there's a few reasons. There would be a few reasons that I can think of for that, and one of them would be, one of them for sure, you're noticing more. Because I remember, like, about a little over a year ago, and...
Oh, by the way, just in case there's some listeners that don't know what we're talking about here, after attaching is the situation where you don't have a hand point yet. You may have palmed or bumped or chowed some tiles, and because you've done that, it means that you can't reach, you can't get piece hand, and so you have to get a hand point somehow from the rest of the tiles that are left in your hand. You may be going for a simples hand, in which case, you know, you have all non-ones and nines. But let's say, for example, you have a 2-3 in your hand, so you're waiting for the 1 and the 4. If you're going for a simples hand, that 1 is not going to win for you, right? And that means you can only win on the 4. That is an example of after attaching.
It means that your hand point is not decided before you win.
Right. Another example, another classic example.
Or it's not a for sure deal, I should say.
Right. You know, a tile that doesn't let you win could come, and then, oh man, then you're kind of screwed. Let's see, another situation would be, let's say you pull like the one of cracks, so now you have the three ones of cracks over there. You can't go for simples, but then you have two red dragons in your hand. But let's say you have two red dragons and then two fours of dots. And then, you know, you have a couple of runs in your hand, so you don't have, like, the all triples hand. The only thing that's going to let you win there is another red dragon. That is also an example of after attaching. If you have, you know, two red dragons and two fours of dots, the four of dots comes, you can't win on that. That is another example of after attaching.
Yeah, and we need to find a better English word for that.
That's really just a direct translation of the Japanese, which is otozuke. And the thing that's risky about it is what happens if the other thing comes that you can't win on, especially if you draw it. Then that puts you in a missed win situation. And this is something else that I think a lot of players don't understand about missed win. Missed win, a lot of people define it as, you know, if you've thrown a tile away that your hand can win on, that's not what it is. If you've thrown a tile away that your hand could be completed on, that puts you in a missed win situation. And, you know, it also happens that...
That's furiten in Japanese.
Right. So. That also happens that, you know, in the same drawing round, somebody will throw those two tiles. Somebody throws the one first... You have that 2 and 3, and somebody throws the 1 first, and then in the same round somebody throws the 4. You can't win on that 4, even though that's finishing your simples hand. The 1, which completed your hand, was thrown earlier. But you couldn't win on that because it was, you know, you didn't have a hand point. That puts you in that after attaching, you know, purgatory, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of stuck. And that's why I really hate that strategy, because it's taking a weird chance. And in a lot, there are situations where it's useful. You know, if you're going for a big hand and somebody, like, say you have two lucky dragons and somebody throws a third lucky dragon, you want to pull that. You don't want to take a chance that you're going to wait for that last lucky dragon after being able to pull, like, say, the two red dragons to give yourself a hand point. You may want to take that those three lucky dragons when you have the chance. So that is a situation where it's okay. But players that do it time and time again, like every hand, they pon chi this, and then they're waiting for, you know, a red dragon or their win tile. It's just, I don't know. For me, it's just not pretty mahjong.
Did you want to know why I think that You see it more in the last 5 or 6
months.
Oh yes, right.
So that, now that we've explained it, just getting back to the discussion. Why were you thinking that I might have seen it more?
Well, one of them is for sure that you're paying attention. So
uh-huh.
I know that about a year ago,
uh-huh.
I think, actually, Moriyama had said something to you about, you know, you're not watching the board at all. So probably you didn't really notice what other people were winning on at all.
That's true, yes.
then another reason would be that there's a younger generation that's really a lot more aggressive than before.
Uh-huh.
Because in the old rules for the Reach Mahjong, back when Tanyao or the All Simples Hand was not allowed to be exposed,
uh-huh.
you also were not allowed to have Atosuke.
Right.
You had to have your hand point already decided before you won.
Atosuke is a relatively recent addition.
Yeah.
And I've heard that actually Atosuke, like, there used to be some rule about any possible hand point had to be decided in your hand beforehand.
Oh, you couldn't get credit for it. Yeah, there are definitely some places
that had extremely strict rules like that. And so, like, this idea of Atosuke is actually a relatively recent addition or
yeah.
possibility.
And I think it's a good addition to the game because I think it helps the people who are, you know, not quite as good at the game, which
mm-hmm.
is what you want. You want people who are not quite as good to, you know, be able to get lucky and stuff, because
right.
otherwise why would they play?
Well, also, I like the idea of just making rules as simple as possible. I mean, the
yeah.
more complicated it gets, yeah, the larger barrier of entry there is to,
exactly.
to new players.
Exactly.
And
so that would be another reason, is the new generation coming up is a lot more aggressive. There's a lot more red fives being used in the decks.
Right.
Which gives you a lot more reasons to open up your hand and call for tiles.
Right. Try to win the hand as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and it makes less reaching situations. So, I mean, you'll definitely notice it a lot more lately, but
uh-huh.
I think it would probably be more in the past couple of years and less in the past few months. I think the past few months is mostly your game improving and you opening up your eyes to the rest of the board.
All right. Well, yes, that's after attaching. It's one of those strategies that I don't know. Maybe I have not found out. I have not figured out how to add it to my game quite so successfully. But
I don't know. I have a really hard time using it because I've been kind of breeded out of it. You know.
Yeah.
I've been trained not to use it because. Because, like you said, of the risk involved. And so I find myself not using it hardly at all. Mostly only in Mahjong Fight Club. If it's not Fight Club, then I'm almost never using it. Unless that's, like, my only chance to win. Or if the other two tiles are out already and all I have left
right.
is
that
the
is
winner.
One, right, so then there's no risk anymore of,
exactly.
you falling into the missed win. In the simple situation, if you have the 7 and 8 and you see 3 of the 9s out already, the risk of you drawing that last 9 is pretty small. Right.
Well, the risk of me personally drawing it is probably 97%. But in general, for most people, I would say it's probably less than
10%. Yes, I think, yes. all right, so that's after attaching, still working on how to fit that into my game and trying not to scorn all the people who have successfully worked it into their game already.
If you have good ideas for, like, an English word for after attaching
yes.
or atosuke, please
send them in.
Yeah, well, we can definitely use the Japanese terms along with the English terms, but like we said with the simplifying the rules, we also want to have a smaller barrier
for
Americans
English speakers,
and other people who aren't interested in learning Japanese but want to learn the game. We want to have a good, at least a wide English vocabulary
right.
for them. So I know that the English terms we're using are not popular with everybody, but, you know, go ahead and give us some suggestions, because all we want is for more people to play the game, and
right.
less barriers are going to get more people. So email us with some suggestions about some of the words, and we can totally start using them.
All right. That concludes our topics for today. Let's take a little break, and we'll come back with our wrap-up.
Oni-san, sore ronya wa?
Ronya wa?
Doumo sumimasen.
Sumimasen.
This is Mahjong.
Do you need high-quality Mahjong tiles? Do you have the tiles ready but just need the scoring sticks? Maybe you want a ReachMahjong.com keychain or t-shirt. You can get all this and more at MahjongMart.com. If you're short on cash at the moment, win gift certificates to our weekly meetups on JPML's run too. For more information, visit reachmarjong.com or marjongmart.com.
All right, let's wrap it up for this month's podcast. Once again, we are reachmahjong.com. I'm Garth Nelson. You can reach me at Garth, E-G-A-R-T-H-E, at reachmahjong.com. And your address again?
I'm at Jen, J-E-N-N, at reachmahjong.com.
We are always open to anybody's suggestions about what they'd like to hear from the world of Mahjong, Reach Mahjong, or Mahjong and other Mahjongs also.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have planned for this month?
Next month? This is the end of October, I
guess. You know, Mahjong wise.
Oh, okay.
Not like going surfing or something. Which obviously I...
Well, I was going to say, last week we went to Utsunomiya, and that was a really fun trip.
Oh, that was a good trip, yes.
We met with Shimizu, Kaori Shimizu, mm-hmm. which is a really famous pro in the league, and we interviewed her, and that's going to be up in the next couple weeks on the site.
Yes, looking forward to that.
Also, JPML is coming out with a girls' calendar, which will be on sale in the beginning of November, and we will have that on sale at mahjongmart.com.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, and I'm in it in a white button-up shirt and nothing else. So
wow.
That's pretty exciting.
Ooh la la.
I think Izumi, Yukiko Izumi, who we interviewed last month, I think she's on there in a swimsuit, so...
Yes, well, it's true. A lot of the girls that they have recruited for our pro league were swimsuit models before they even started playing Mahjong, so they are perfectly suited for that sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh, nice play on words. Way to go.
Oh, that's terrific.
So that's coming out in the next month. Tomorrow is Women's League, so I'm going to go play in that, even though I have pretty much no chance of going up to A-League, but just anything I can do to become the third grade before Garth. Because we both made it to grade 2 in the JPML, which is Dan, Nidan, kind of like the karate dans or levels, if you know about martial arts.
What would be really cool is if we could move up to grade, I don't know, see, you want to do it all in one fell swoop so that you don't have to pay for two, you know, separate little scrolls that we're never going to look at again.
Oh, you mean just go straight to grade 4?
Yeah, like before we have to pay for another one of those scrolls, because they only do it like every 6 months.
Yeah.
So within 6 months, you'd like to go up 2 grades at a time so that you...
I don't think they let you. I think once you get to one, you have to buy it anyway.
So if you
in the next one,
two
you would
at the
have
same
to
time,
buy
you'd
two.
Have to buy 2 scrolls?
I think so.
Jeez. A little bit of... what do you call botakuri in English?
I don't know.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's what... I guess that's what we're going to do.
Yes.
We got lots of columns coming out. We'll write fully about our trip to Utsunomiya. We have our 4 featured players that we're going to go watch in a league tournament
guys, yes.
And play with them. What about you?
I'm looking forward to my first Champions League session next month. And Oisen.
Yes.
I've had kind of an okay run in tournaments the last couple months, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how I can do in one of these. Although, I have to say, it's going to be my, you know, all of those tournaments have been against non-Renmei players. And the more I've played, I have to say, I think some of the best players in the world are in Renmei. And, you know, it's a tough group to compete with.
Yeah,
and I think
sure.
The reason I've done so well in the other tournaments that I was playing in is because I've been practicing against players in Renmei.
Renmei is JPML,
oh,
by the way.
Right, yes, JPML, our professional league. So I'm looking forward to OE and Champions League, and of course, I will probably play a lot of free, as I do.
One final note, besides our interviews, we are also trading with... Excuse me.
Sit tight.
We're also trading interviews and columns with Bjorn from Germany.
Yes.
He has a German blog now, and I think we're trading translations of columns and things like that. Also, I noticed on Mahjong News there's an interview with Kajimoto, who was one of the referees at the Open Reach tournament in June. So that's probably pretty interesting. You might want to check that out. We're good friends with Martin Rett. and go ahead and head on over there. And also, don't forget to look at our website.
Absolutely. All right, thank you very much for tuning in. This is Garth Nelson and
Jen Barr. See you later. Girl, you ain't lying. If it smells like funk, it must be us. The funk, 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 bounce. It is making stuff. If it smells like funk, it must be us. The funk, 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 bounce. It is making stuff. If it smells like funk, it must be us. The funk.